And that gives us time to start again.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kaileJohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Yay, Star Wars. We lost Rick in the video, but today we're reviewing Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 2, called Revenge/Justice. So we'll discuss, we'll have an unboxing here shortly, and then we'll discuss the episode. Oh. And talk about the casts and everything like that. We've got a little bigger cast than the last one, but this episode was shorter. So let me be prepared here. Oh, I got to fix that. Yeah. Okay. There's a box.
Hit that box.
There's a box.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Here's my Sharpie tool. All right, here we go. Here we go. This is a different box. Look at this. Somebody overtaped it, it looks like. Yeah, there we go. Let's get rid of that. Open that. There we go. Okay, here we go. Ooh, it's not packed very good. Oh, it looks like another female. Who could it be? Let me get this out of the way. Oh, look. It's Jyn Erso. From Rogue One. And she's number 138. She's got some sort of weapon there. Oh, she's got her little gun on her side. In her hand, there it is. See, let's go to the side. 138. We can see it says Star Wars Rogue One. So this is a bunch of them that were made for that. There's quite a few. There's what? That's four times. That's 12 different Funkos in this particular series. She's the first one right there. But then we've seen that guy, that big robot. There's a Black Series R2-D2 down there. There's a different droid there. There's a bunch of stuff in here. So maybe we'll see some of those. Jyn Erso on the side. The number 138 still. And the top. There's the top. She says, pop. Pop. All right, so that's our unboxing. Yes. And I'm back. There we go. Wonder where Rick went. He disappeared from frame completely. So we're back and we're reviewing Acolyte Season 1, Episode 2, Revenge/Justice.
Oh, fucking hand. Better.
And we've got, again, the director of Leslie Headland. There's Rick. The writer is Jason McElwith and Charmaine DeGrate again. And the same there's editor.
Okay, Rick.
Micah Luskin.
Papas.
You had to go pate. Music scored by Michael Abels again. So we got the same people from the first episode. And then our cast is a little different. Now that everybody has, taken a bathroom break, we've got May. And May and Asha, played by Amanda Steinberg. Master Soul by Lee Jun Jae. Yord are the most famous character so far, played by Charlie Bartlett. Yeah, exactly. Jackie Lyon, which that's the one I like. She's kind of played by Daphne Keene. Kumir, played by Manny Joaquinto. Torben, which is the apothecary guy with the greasy hair, played by Dean Charles Chapman. Olga Urchant, which I think this is someone that was hanging outside of the Olga Temple, Jedi Temple, played by Archie Singh Swali. The Olga Temple Master that we see is Nick Court. I think that's the one that was searching, and he went into the room and didn't find May in there when with the guy meditating or whatever. And then Olga Padawan is Ed Keir. We've got our Venestra Rowe again, played by Rebecca Henderson. Kalneka, which is the Wookiee that we see at the end of the episode, played by Jonas Tsutomamo. Scavenger number one, played by Juman Hunter. Scavenger number two, played by Scarubus Pip. That's one of the funnier names I've seen in a while. Scarubus. Scroobius. And then his last name is Pip. Scooby-Doo! Yeah. And then we see Little May and Little Asha again, played by Leah Bradley and Lauren Bradley. Yeah. And Torben's the guy that's... I said that wrong, but Torben's the guy that's hovering. He's the master that's... Jedi that's hovering. I think it's...
That's what I was going to say when we did episode one. That's Tommen off of Game of the Thrones.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Took me a while to make the connection, but when I watched it again the second time and I saw the credits, I was like, wait a minute. And then I went double checked and yep, that's young Tommen off Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So it's the Kumir guy. That's the urchin that's in the he plays the apothecary guy that mixes all the medicine and stuff. And that's the one on the internet. Don't tell anybody. On the internet, everybody thinks that he's the Sith Lord. He's just pretending to be a subservient. He's the actual Sith Lord. Don't tell anybody.
I don't think so, but could be.
I don't think so either. The shopkeeper. Episode two was called Revenge/Justice. It aired on June 4th. It was only 36 minutes long. The previous one was a little bit longer. And it's, of course, in the same timeline, 132. What was that, Rick?
I don't remember what I said.
Oh, I was talking about the time and Torben and whatever. All right, so what that means is it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay, briefing room.
I just got rid of my favorite beverage.
Get that out of my way. The episode opens with a wide landscape shot of the port of Olega. At the Olega Jedi Temple, an alien vendor pulls a cart. A brown-skinned human girl hurls a fruit at the temple door, and the gatekeeper droid tells the street urchin to stop playing pranks and leave. While the girl distracts the droid, a veiled May Anasaya plants a slicer device on the gatekeeper droid, which hijacks the droid, meaning it just disables it looked like to me. Causing the gate to open. May gives the urchin a token before entering the Olga Temple. And I disagree with that because it sounded like there was more than one token. They clinked together.
A couple of coins,
made some noises. She walks through the temple corridor until she reaches a chamber where a bearded Jedi sits in a silent meditation.
Hey, so I want to throw this out. I want you to go back and watch that and tell me the, because she, when she goes in, she has to pause because there are some Jedi walking. I want you to go back and watch that and see if that's not supposed to be Mace Windu, like that comes through the corner and gets across. I'm serious. Go back and watch it because I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Mace Windu with Samuel L. Jackson's character. I'll put money on it.
It could be. I saw some of that on the internet too, where someone said that, hey, that was Mace Windu. And
I'm like, I went back and watched it two or three times. I'm like, that has to be him, but I could be wrong. But
yeah,
I throw that out there.
Yeah, I saw it too. So she sees the Jedi meditating, and by meditating, we mean he's floating in the air. He's not touching the ground.
Levitating.
He's got his hands crossed, and it looks like he's doing the traditional meditation thing going on.
Yeah.
May introduces herself to the meditating Master Torben, saying they have unfinished business. That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. She dares the Jedi to attack her with all his strength.
Heard that before.
Same thing. But he does not respond. He's still meditating. She finds that he is protected by an invisible force field that she cannot penetrate. She kicks it and jumps it and bangs it and pokes at it and stabs it and throws stuff at it. Still can't get through it. May finds that her knives can't penetrate either, and Tobin's force field. May hides when a Jedi enters the room, responding to the intruder alert.
Alert.
On Karlak, Osha Anasei awakens to find the Padawan Jeki Lion struggling to restart the ship. She advises the Lion to repolarize the power couplings. Lion listens to her advice, and the power couplings begin repolarizing. Huh. That was easy, wasn't it? Well, you know, she is a repair mechnic.
Yeah, she's a mechnic.
Lonnie says that being a mechnic must be a dangerous work, and thought that only astromech droids work outside. May remarks that she is better company and more flexible than a droid, which it says May, but it said Osha just a minute ago, so it's Osha, not May. And when the Pip droid expresses its disagreement in binary, May adds that Pip is also very flexible. So the droid is jealous.
He can take his head off.
Yeah, he can take his head off. Master Saul enters the room, and Jedi Knight Yord protests against them not restraining Osha. And Saul questions if he believes that Osha killed Master Indra or not. Yord wants to tie her up and torture her, right? And have weird sexual fantasies broadcasted over the internet. Make money off of it. Fandor is open to Osha's claim that May killed Master Indra, but assumes she is untrained. Sol counters that Osha has not been trained for 6 years, so she's untrained as well. And Fandor is open to considering the twin theory, but speculates that Osha and May are working together. Because they have to be, right? Sol consoles Yord not to let fear affect his judgment. So just because you're afraid of something doesn't mean it's true.
That's kind of Yoda-esque.
Kind of. Sol then enters the cockpit to update Master Venestra Ro via holoprojector, about the situation. He tells Ro that he believes Osha's sister May has resurfaced after 16 years and was responsible for the murder of Master Indra. Ro is open to the twins theory. Huh. Suddenly open. She informed Seoul that a suspect matching OSHA's description broke into the Oleg Temple today. And since OSHA is with Seoul in custody, Roe reasons that the suspect is May. When Seoul asks if she would like him to investigate or return to the Coruscant, Roe tells Seoul to investigate the break-in on Oleg and to bring OSHA with him since she could be an asset.
Sherlock Holmes work right there, man.
Exactly. And Seoul orders the other Jedi to set course to Oleg. When Fandor protests, Seoul reiterates that this, it's not his authority. It's coming from within the Jedi. And they believe that they can help. Fandor disagrees, but Seoul responds that the Jedi agree with him. And Fandor reluctantly complies with Master Seoul's orders. And the Jedi shuttle takes off, leaving behind Karlak. On Oleg, May enters the shop and meets with a man named Kumir. There we go. Kumir asks where she was last night. Why didn't she come partying, man? What's up? May replies that she was out risking her life. Kumir tells May that he killed the man who owns the shop and he's trying to blend in. May tells Kumar not to sample the merchandise. That's why he was taking a nap, I guess, huh?
I think he was a little late.
When Kumar asks if she managed to kill the target, May says that she tried but could not land a single blow because he had a force shield. Kumar suggests searching for his weakness, but May says that she could not land a single blow, describing Torben as impenetrable. Which is weird, right? Since when is a Jedi impenetrable?
He's got always.
When May asks Kumar to make her a poison using Bunta, Kumar is reluctant. When May argues she is running out of time, Kumar counters that she is running out of Jedi. He adds that if she thinks a sleeping monk is tough, it will be tougher to defeat a Wookiee.
The Wookiee. What?
A Wookiee? Since when? Whoa, she's going after a Wookiee.
Wookiee then?
May says that she has two more Jedi to kill and that she will kill one of them without a weapon and please the master. Oh, the master. She adds that she will need to do it her way, and Kumar says that she will need to drink. He needs a drink, but agrees to help her. Well, concocting a drink, Almar says that everyone has a weakness. The Jedi justify their galactic dominance through peace. May finishes off by saying that peace is a lie. May says that Torben thinks he found peace and suggests that May gives him absolution, and he drops some Bunta into a vial of yellow liquid, which turns green. Before leaving, May warns Kumar that he would not bode well for them if she told the master about her conversation, and Kumar agrees.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I was looking up something here. They had a link to the master. And there's no information here that is usable for anything. The master later encounters several Jedi, among them Jedi Master Seoul. So that tells us what's coming up later.
I'll throw this out. She makes that comment because I read this later, but that phrase that she says, peace is a lie.
Yep.
Okay.
That comes from the a quote at the end of the first episode.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the Sith, like, code. It's the first line of the, like, I don't know what I want to call it. Not necessarily mantra, but whatever.
Manifesto?
Yeah, that's it. There you go. Better there word.
You go. There you go. All right. So aboard the Jedi starship, Osha introduces her pip droid to Master Sol. When Sol asks what is the droid, Osha attempts to explain that she's trying to sink the droid to the ship in order to gauge the vessel's fuel levels. Sol, however, is asking about her tattoo instead of the droid. What is that? Oh, Osha explains that she got it in Corpsec during a crazy night with some of her Metnik crew.
Yeah.
They went on a drinking binge and got tattoos. Osha remarks that he wouldn't have approved of her tattoo, and Sol says it's not none of his business. He asks Osha if she believes that May is behind Indira's murder, and Osha thinks that this is the only plausible explanation, despite both of them seeing May perish. Osha reassures Sol that what happened that night on Burndock was not his fault, and Sol replies that he has also made peace with the tragic events on Burndock. Osha accepts that Sol has been trying to teach her to make peace with the past, but she is not a very good student. Sol responds that perhaps he was not a very good teacher. And over the intercom, we hear Yord tell them that they're approaching Oleg. So basically, we find out that she's still pissed off about the events that happened there. So she probably doesn't. That, right?
Like,
yeah, we do.
We don't know. We just know that like there was a fire, but we don't know like any of the background of that, right?
Right, but in that conversation, she basically admits that she's not over it.
Oh yeah. I get that. Yeah. But we don't know like what transpired. We just know that there were four Jedi involved. And that May is pissed about it, and she blames them. And Osha is pissed about it because she thinks she lost everybody.
Right.
So that's like leading to like what you were kind of saying about earlier about who the Sith Master might be. It might be someone that has knowledge of the event or whatever, and is using May to as a vendetta type thing.
Of course, that sounds very plausible. That's how Sith do things. They manipulate people.
Yeah, that was a pretty telling. That was a pretty telling conversation in episode 2, right there.
All right. So outside the Oleg Temple, Master Sol informs the local Jedi Master that he is investigating a recent break-in linked to another investigation. Sol is accompanied by Lon, Yord, and Osha, and the Oleg Jedi Master explains that someone spotted a hooded intruder and alerted him. They searched the temple and found nothing. Just then, the Oleg Jedi Padawan approaches with a female street urchin from last night. He explains that the gatekeeper droids caught the child loitering around the porticus. Lonnie speaks with the child and asks if she activated the security droid. And the child nods and explains that someone paid her to do it. When Lon asks her who it was, child mistakes Osha for the intruder. She says, it was you that paid me. You paid me lots of money. I was very hungry.
Lots of money.
She says, but you had a hood on also. Pip speaks in binary, and Sol requests to speak with Master Torben. The Oleg Master says that he has not spoken to anyone for over 10 years because he's been hovering and meditating all the time, apparently. Sol responds that Torben will speak to him because he is a friend. Inside Master Torben's chamber, Mei approaches with the meditating Jedi with her vial of poison. She tells the meditating Jedi that she knows why he took the Barish vow, which is the vow of silence, believing that it would give him the peace that he sought. As the force field warbles, Mei asks that his past still haunts him. Mei offers Torben the choice of confessing his crime to the Jedi Council or receiving forgiveness he seeks from her. She places the vial of poison on the floor. Stoll and the others approach Torben's chamber. Mei tells him to face the past, and Torben exits his meditation and descends to the floor. He opens his eyes and tells Mei that he has been waiting for her to come. Before drinking the poison vial, Torben begs for forgiveness and tells Mei that they thought they were doing the right thing. Meanwhile, Osha sees a manifestation of Mei and separates from the group. She goes off somewhere else. Mei is trying to distract her so she can finish what she's doing, I guess. And Yord shadows her because he notices she broke off. As Saul approaches the chamber, he senses a disturbance in the force. Oh, what happened? Oh no, somebody died. Shortly later, Mei enters the room only to find Torben dead. Shortly later, Osha enters the room to find Torben dead. She gazes upon the open circular ceiling and believes that Mei escaped through that way. Later, the Oleg Jedi Master enters and confronts her with his blue lightsaber. He says, "Oh, you killed Master Torben. What are you doing?"
"Stop."
Osha pleads that she is innocent. "I didn't do it, I promise. I it looks bad, but I didn't do it."
"She didn't do it. She did not do it."
When Lonnie demands that Osha explain herself, Yord speaks up for Osha and says that he followed her when she broke off and conforms that Master Torben was dead when they arrived. Now she's got an alibi. Osha thanks Yord for defending her. Lon and Sol deduce that Master Torben drank the poison willingly. Don't know how they knew that for sure, but Osha recognizes the poison substance as Boonta from her homeworld in Brindock. How do they know it's willingly, Rick?
Because one said there was no sign of struggle. So they deduce, Sherlock Holmes work here again, they deduce that he did it willingly.
Exactly.
These guys are smart investigators.
And they decide that it was a handcrafted poison.
Yeah.
So they set up surveillance on Kumar, watching from the balcony. Yoder proposes that Lonnie serve as a lookout while he enters the shop and confronts Kumar. He also suggests stunning Kumar and brings him in for questioning. Lonnie instead proposes that they send Osha to impersonate Mei and speak to Kumar. They propose recording the conversation in order to get a confession from Kumar. Master Sol commends Lon for her plan, and Sol hands Osha a blaster. Oh, he's giving her a weapon. Yord, of course, he protests. He says, "Uh-oh, should we trust a possible suspect?" But Sol counters that she used to be a Jedi, so that makes her trustworthy, I guess. Sol asks if Osha is ready, and Osha says she is ready to uses her pip droid as a recording device. After borrowing a cloak. From some vendor on the street or something, right? Osha enters Kumar's shop. Kumar is surprised to see Mei back so early and asks if she is all right. He asks if the poison worked and senses that she is acting strange. the Jedi who are listening decide to make a move, and Kumar asks if Mei killed Master Torben without using the poison. Osha confirms that he took the poison and thanks Tobin. Kumar remarks that Osha looks exactly like Mei. Look exactly like her, but you're not her. I can tell because you have no idea what you're talking about. Osha then raises her blaster at Kumar, and Yord, Sol, and Lon enter the shop surrounding Kumar. You're under arrest. By order of the Jedi, basically. Lon tells Kumar that they know that he supplied Mei with a poison that killed Master Torben, and they have recorded his confession. Kumar attempts to shift blame onto Mei, and Sol says that if he cooperates, they will consider letting him go with a warning. And Kumar pleads with them not to wipe his mind. Please don't use the Jedi trick to wipe my mind. Sol asks Kumar about his relationship with Mei, and Kumar claims that he is her supplier. He claims that he started off a gunrunner for the Hutts, but became a supplier later on. Yord and Sol ask if Mei has a master and if someone is training her. And Kumar says he is ignorant of the matter, and that all he knows is that Mei wants revenge on 4 Jedi. Sol orders Yord to set up a perimeter and keep an eye out for Mei. He tells Jekki to get the ship, and tells Sol and Osha he is coming with her, and they will return later on tonight. Later that night, Yord watches the perimeter, keeping an eye out for Mei. He communicates to Lon via comlink. Yord is skeptical of the plan, but tells him to stick to the plan. Why is he always skeptical of everything, huh, Yord?
Maybe it's him.
Sol waits in an alley with Osha, and Osha wants to confront Mei, but Sol insists on confronting the Rogue Force user alone. Me and her have a score. Osha reminds Sol that he brought her here, and Sol says he didn't realize that Osha was still angry with Mei. Osha says that Mei killed her family and destroyed her life, and Sol advises Osha to let go of her grief.
Let it go.
To some Adele and you'll be all right. When Osha says she wants justice, Sol warns her about the danger of revenge. Sounds like you want revenge more than you want justice. And Sol says that he could not save Mei and asks Osha to give him another chance. Osha reminds Sol that Mei wants to kill 4 Jedi stationed on Brendok 16 years ago. And these Jedi were Indira, Torben, Kelneka, and Sol. Oh no. Who's this Kelneka guy? Osha warns that Mei wants to kill him, and Sol tells Osha that to have faith in him and Mei. But everything's gonna be all right. Who sings that song? Everything's gonna be all right. Later that night, Yord spots Mei and relays information to both Lon and Sol. Sol confronts Mei outside the shop, saying that she survived and killed Indira and Torben. What? Mei hurls a dagger near Sol's feet. Then she removes her hood and charges at the Jedi Master, who grabs her foot. Give me that foot. Give it to me. I like to tickle feet. Mei advances on Sol with her arm and legs, and Sol defends himself and counter moves her moves. During a break, Sol questions May why she is attacking him without a weapon, and May resumes her attack and unsuccessfully attempts to retrieve Sol's lightsaber. That's the second time she tried to do that, because she tried to steal Indira's lightsaber too. Sol surprises her from behind and manages to snatch her knives and disarm her. And Sol tells May that she has misunderstood the Jedi arts and that her master failed her. Sol demands to know who trained May. And May responds by launching another attack while Yord watches. Yord's just helpless. He can only watch. Meanwhile, Osha uses her pip droid to eavesdrop on Lonnie and Yord's conversation. She learns that Sol's trying to find out who trained May. Sol uses the Force to levitate May for a few meters from the ground. Using the Force, a Force probe, he remarks that May's master has taken great pains to conceal her identity, even from her.
No one knows.
Conceal her identity even from her.
From him.
No. May's master has taken great pains to conceal her identity from even her. All right, I'll let it sit there for a while. May tells Sol to get out of her head and relaunches her attack. As May reaches for a hidden dagger, Sol tells May that he senses her feelings for her sister. May responds that her sister is dead, but Sol reveals that Osha is alive. Your sister. May thinks that Sol is lying and hurls a dagger at him. Yord uses the Force to catch the blade and backs Sol up, saying that Osha is alive. So even apparently Sol can't defend himself. Yord's got to help now.
Well, he was busy doing other things.
Yeah. May attempts to flee, but is cornered by Yord. Jeki arrives in her starship and hovers over May. She tells the rogue Force user that she is under arrest and orders her to surrender. You must surrender. You know, because we're better than you, right?
Because she's part of the Republic. By order of the High Republic, you're under arrest.
Exactly. Despite being concerned, May escapes by summoning up a sandstorm that blinds her Jedi pursuers. Master Sol orders the Jedi to stop May before she reaches the city gates, and Osha listens to their conversation. May bumps into a speeder. When a driver attempts to help, she knocks him to the ground and commandeers the vehicle. Osha confronts May with a gun. Oh, May recognizes Osha and is surprised to see her sister alive. What? Even though Sol said she was, she didn't believe it, and now she sees. Osha fires a stun gun bolt, which I think purposely misses May, allowing May to flee. The other Jedi arrive soon after.
I think she took her training from the stormtroopers. They must have gone to the range.
Nah, it looked like she was aiming at her, and then she changed position and purposely missed her. That's what I saw.
I think she had the same range instructor as the stormtroopers.
Could be. Following the unsuccessful capture attempt, Master Sol contacts Master Ro via holoprojector. Master Ro has convened a meeting of the Jedi Council to discuss the threat of the trained outsider. Sol says that they know where May is going next, but Ro responds they don't make decisions without a meaningful discussion, especially with the Jedi Council. Ro tells Sol that she expects him back on Coruscant.
He's not going.
He's not going. The following day, May confronts Kumar for selling out to the Jedi. And Kumar says that he can make amends by getting out of the city and getting her to the planet Kofar. He explains that this is the forest retreat where the Wookiee Jedi Kalnick lives. And May tells Kumar that Osha is alive. And the two flee as they spot the local Jedi. And then we cut to a scene on the forest world of Kofar. Two scavengers stumble upon what appears to be a crashed starship. They intend to savage the hyperdrive. One of them spots signs of unfamiliar language, but the other doesn't know. The two scavengers are confronted by Kalnick, who uses the force to seize their blasters, and he cracks them over his knee, basically. Breaks them apart in his bare hands. Arr, I'm strong, see? The two scavengers flee because they're scared of the strong Wookiee. And the Wookiee approaches his dwelling, which is made of the starship parts built into a tree. And then we see credits roll. Credits are rolling, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Yeehaw.
Good stuff, Maynard.
I think they're trying a little too hard with the Sherlock Holmes stuff.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to go back to Coruscant, though. He's going to go straight to the Wookiee.
I think
there's going to be some badassery fighting coming.
Well, yeah, there's got to be some of the Wookiee, right?
Yeah, there's going to be some awesome stuff happening. So
Wookiees tear arms off and stuff.
Yeah, well, going back though too. So, you know, we talked about this in the other episode about who could be there, but those scavengers were speaking Hutnese or whatever, right? So, what about Jabba and like his family? Are they like, what's the timeline for them? Because weren't they?
Well, they're around those. I don't know what you call them, but worms or whatever, they live quite a while too. They never dealt with Sith or anything like that. There was one of their kind that became a Jedi. And I think we saw it in like the Rebels show when that happened. It was an offspring of one of not Jabba, but another uncle or something, a Jabba.
Well, we know that they're like a family. And then we know from Solo that Han was connected with Jabba when he was younger, right? So, like, I just wonder what the timeline is. Like, obviously, is there going to be some kind of connection with that to it possibly or not?
I mean, it could be, but I don't think so because Han's connection to Jabba was spice running and stuff for him.
For the syndicate, right? Crime syndicate.
Yeah. There's the Hutt syndicate basically ruled so many areas of the galaxy. Also, they were in charge of, I don't know, 12 or so planets or whatever, and each relative was stationed to a sector or something like that.
Gotcha.
Obviously the sector that Boba Fett took over was Tatooine and stuff, but they were all places that were not necessarily close to the center of the Republic's reign or not reign but rule or whatever.
Gotcha.
Coruscant supposedly is in the center, and then anything for the further out you go, the harder it is to defend, right? So
you gotta get to the outer rim or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, it's possible, but I don't think there's a tie-in. I mean, they're Jabba would be pretty young at this time,
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, maybe it's not him, but maybe like parents or grandparents or something with the family. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's like Yoda and lives for hundreds of years too. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I just was throwing that out there because it says like those guys were speaking Huttonese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all throughout Star Wars, a lot of the criminals speak Huttonese because that's their best connection to the black market, basically, let's say.
Yeah.
They pretty much run the black market wherever they're at. So you can't, there's like, they have their own rules and everything. Like you can't sell anything to anybody that's not a member of the Hutt clan or something like that, or they'll kill you, basically, stuff like that. So they have their own laws, I guess you could say. Exactly. What about you, Scott? Anything exciting you want to talk about this episode, or
just how, you know, she's trying to do right, not May, but her twin, and she's conflicted about May doing wrong.
Yeah. She doesn't think that could happen.
She's moved on from the anger. I mean, I think she's moved on from the anger of, you know, losing May. And I'm sure she's wondering, well, why didn't you contact me?
Yeah, I don't know. I get the impression that she's mad at May for starting the fire to begin with.
Yeah.
But she's also her sister too, and it's, you know, that's a bond that's hard to break.
And that's the story that we're being told, but we don't know what the event is either. I think that's going to be like the big, I don't know, maybe that'll be like the last episode or two. We find out actually, you know, like that's the story that's been told, that her sister started a fire, but that's not actually what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we're building to that, like, they're giving us breadcrumbs. They're giving us breadcrumbs about what happened on their home planet, but not really it's what went down.
Yeah, we don't get to see the whole, you know, the, you know, like in the movies and stuff.
There's a reason why she's trying to hunt down four Jedi, because she's specifically earmarked these four Jedi. Like, you know, why is she going after them?
Yep.
And obviously, she's being trained by someone. So, what's their part or role in that?
Exactly.
I don't know, man. It's been a little bit more action packed than the last few series, I guess I would say. So that's what's kind of keeping my attention. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but. Since she killed in the first episode, you know, since May killed the master, but she tried to take her lightsaber. Why didn't she take the lightsaber after she killed her? She wanted a lightsaber.
She just wanted the white lightsaber, I think, as a weapon to kill the master with.
Yeah, but she didn't try to take what's his name, the meditating one. And you know, he had to have one. Like, yeah. We never seen it, but like, so she's had two people that she's killed, and she's not taken either one of them's lightsaber. So,
yeah, it was clipped to his belt. But if you remember, the master said that the acolyte doesn't kill with a weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, the lesson there was the acolyte kills the dream and not doesn't have to use a weapon to do that.
But she kills him without a weapon. She uses the poison. So, you know, like at that point, I don't know. I think there's a little bit more to that too, because she's using that phrase multiple times.
Yeah. It's a mantra of some sort.
It'll be interesting when she meets the Wookiee, whether or not she says it to him or not.
I think she probably will too.
Will his response is going to be,
I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about a wild theory that I'm not sure I want to say yet, but I think I will. Is, you know, we've seen references that Asha kind of has multiple personalities in a way. I wonder if one of those multiple personalities is the Sith Lord.
Maybe.
And she's the one that's training Mei. And they are working together, just like Yord said they probably are. And because it's a multiple personality, she doesn't realize that she's the one doing it.
Could be.
Because, you know, sometimes those personalities can be hidden from him. Especially if you're a Sith Lord, you want to hide that from, if you can, from someone else so they don't know, right?
But the only catch on that is that she was on the because I want to throw water on that one. She was on the jail ship when Mei met the Sith Lord on the ocean side or whatever when he tells her that. Now, unless that was like another, you know, like Luke kind of hallucination, you know, holo thing.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the only explanations, but yeah.
See, there's two big things, I think. One, we need to know what the event was that happened on the planet. And two, yep, we're going to find out who the Sith Master, Lord, whatever is.
Yep.
Because the other thing, I think, is Mei really an acolyte? Or is he just using her to do stuff under the impression that she's an acolyte?
So it very well be.
You know? I don't know. This is just a little bit more action packed, I guess.
Yeah.
The pace has been a little faster than like, we're going to lead up to, episode was, and then
I go save somebody.
So I think that's partly because that's the first two episodes.
Probably.
I guarantee we're going to get a couple filler episodes. Two. Even though there's only six, I think there's going to be filler because there's rumor that there's already been a renewal for season two and they're negotiating a season three. So,
the story I saw, one of them said episode five is the one that you want to watch. Like the fifth episode is going to be the episode.
Hello.
Yep. That's where all the action breaks. So here's another weird thing about this show, and it's not related to the theory or anything, but so this premiered on Disney Plus on June 4th, but on June 3rd it released in select theaters for people to watch in the theater. The first two episodes, they got to go to a theater and watch it, and it was like I think five theaters that had it, maybe more. So yeah. You know, the standard Chinese restaurant, Chinese theater, whatever, Grauman's Chinese theater down there in L.A. or whatever, it was there, and it was a couple other places, but it was, you know, obviously big cities and a select few and a limited crowd and whatever, but I don't know if you saw, Rick, but I saw a lot of pictures of people that went and watched in the theater.
No, I didn't know that. I actually haven't seen any pictures or anything like that. So no, I didn't. I wasn't aware of that at all. Huh.
And I wonder if they're going to keep doing that, if every episode they're going to release it so that people can watch it in the theater.
I mean, you're talking like a 35, 40 minute episode. So,
yeah,
that's it. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's crazy.
Maybe the reason they did it is because there was two episodes in it.
Two episodes that would total like, you know, a film length almost, a short film, but
90 minutes or so. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw it on Twitter. A lot of people posted pictures of like a screen or something, or and they were in the theater seating and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a tweeter. Yeah. I can't help you on that. Yeah.
I don't Insta either. I abandoned Facebook and went for Twitter, and apparently that was a bad decision. But
I have my Facebook. I figure if I got one, that keeps me busy enough. So now my two, you know, they're on everything and they know everything and they come and tell me, so I don't need it.
Yeah, that's kind of why I abandoned Facebook, is because I was spending too much time on there.
Well, yeah, that happens.
Anyway, so we want you guys to send us your feedback. Send us feedback on everything you've watched and seen and heard about from us. You can go to feedback@kylejohansen.us in your email client. You can go to our website, click on feedback there, and fill out a form that comes to us. We're on social media. We're on X/Twitter @super_duper_pod, Blue Sky @Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, and you can comment on our videos and audio at YouTube as well. So there you go. I was telling Rick the other day that we're on a few more audio places now. I think what's that broadcast radio thing that Howard Stern's on? That broadcast subscription?
Sirius?
Sirius Satellite? We're on Sirius Satellite now.
Well, they
have podcasts and stuff you can listen to there, so we're on there.
That's serious stuff right there, man.
That is serious stuff. We're not some serious people.
And we're on Pandora, which most people don't listen to, but my wife does.
We've got to get a Patreon account.
No, we're on Pandora. That's why he does the unboxing, so we can have Pandora's box.
We actually do have an account that people can contribute money to, Scott, but you know, we don't get feedback to start with, so why would people be contributing?
Hey,
get a Twitch thing or something.
If it comes to a foreign entity, you have to report that.
And I've tried Twitch, Scott, but Twitch doesn't allow videos that are over a certain length.
Oh.
Unless you live stream.
Yeah.
And we could live stream. We could. We've done it once before. Scott and I have done it once before. But
followers or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's not really worth it unless you got followers that are, you know, reacting to you at the same time. So we can live stream on Twitter whenever, if we want to. I can link this. I can link this Zoom video to our YouTube account, and it'll live stream at the same time. But you know, like I said, that you have to have a crowd to make it worth your time. You know, it's not really worth all the hassle. I think a couple years ago, Scott and I did that once, and it was kind of cool, but it also puts the video in a weird location on YouTube too, and I didn't really like that either, so I kind of like corralling them into the podcast and the video sections, and when you live stream it, it separates it completely into a live stream tab, which I didn't like, but anyway.
Bouncing up and down,
all kinds of opportunities we are trying to get on every place that we can. If you don't see us somewhere, just let us know. First you have to send us feedback, so
you gotta tell us something. Come on, man, let's go.
Yeah, let me Last time of that again. Yay. All right. So that's our episode. Anybody have anything else that they want to contribute? You know, maybe predictions about this Wookiee. Maybe the Wookiee survives. Wookiee dies.
I think the Wookiee's going to be Chewbacca's grandpa.
Chewbacca's the grandpa. Could be. Could be. I don't know.
You don't know. Grandson Wookiee come out and kick ass.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's my prediction.
Well, I mean, the backstory is this guy isolated himself on purpose so there's nobody around. Probably because he felt guilty about what happened on, Asha's planet.
Something bad had to happen for him to isolate and this guy go into, like, you know, his meditative state. And Indira basically was on some back wall place, too. So, like, something bad's gone down. So,
yeah, they all feel guilty for something.
Something happened.
I think you're right. I think the official story is to blame May because she died, supposedly.
Yeah.
And now that they find out that May's not dead, they're feeling even more guilty about what happened.
Yeah,
like all those years. I mean, we still don't know who trained May.
That's the second question. That's the next one. We'll find out some more details in number three. I think number four is going to be like some fighting. Number three might be the boring episode.
I think it'll come down to the two sisters fighting.
I don't know. I don't think so yet. Maybe.
I think it could be come down to the two sisters joining forces, but that's just my theory. Oh,
there we go.
I think the clue on that's going to be when we look at the title, because there's two
Sith, though.
There's two words for every one, and so whenever there's just one word for a title, then I think that's when the poo-poo is going to hit the whirly machine.
Yeah. So purposely, most of the time lately, they've been giving all the episodes out. Purposely, they're not releasing episodes until release day, next episode is June 11th. Well, they might release it a couple days early, but they don't release it until close to that time.
I got a silly question. Is all these release times U.S. time, or is it...
Yeah.
Britain.
It's supposedly at midnight, the first minute of the day on that date. So June 4th, it was at midnight on June 4th, and that is... It's basically our time, so it's central time. It could be Eastern time. It's a different time, and, you know, they're all at the same time, though. The Brits, I think, actually get it earlier than we do.
That's what I was saying.
That's what you're saying, because Greenwich
Mean. People know before we know.
It would be, our midnight would be 6 a.m. in England, so midnight for them would be 6 p.m., I might have to look Monday night at 6 and see if it's on, but I doubt it. They've got some way that they've got that set up.
Yeah. I think Disney Plus has it all figured out. That's really the only place that they get it. The only reason that they could get it early in Europe is because the actual service is something different. It's Disney Plus, but it's different.
I've seen like reviews and stuff of it before it drops here.
Well, that was probably what I was telling you, is some people get it early, but also they released it in theaters the day before in the United States. Okay. It was in like 5 or 6 theaters the day before. So, anyway, so there's a lot to happen in this thing, right? We don't know any episode names yet. No hinting at posters coming out.
and how many years it spans or whatever, however time is, you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to stick to around the same timeline.
Yeah, but if we go off what you were showing, the media release says it's the year 132, but that map said 82, so you got a 50-year gap right there.
Well, true, but that map was built on when they first announced the Acolyte, and somebody guessed around the timeline, so it could be an accurate time. It could be somebody's guess. I don't know for sure.
So that wasn't actually an official Disney release timeline.
No, it was a unofficial release of the date back then. It's at least 2 years old, that part is. So okay. It could have changed since then. We don't know for sure, but
somebody needs to get on Wiki and change that.
Yeah, it doesn't. See, I'm looking at the different episodes, and even the episodes that are upcoming don't have timeline listed on, just the ones that have been released. So it's possible we skip some time also.
They're just saying episode, and then there's no title until it drops.
Right. I would say that they are going to go back in time a little bit, like Rick's been saying, where we actually find out what happened. I would say there's going to be at least an episode like that, which maybe is the next one.
Could be.
Anyway, anything else you guys got? More theories?
No. Outside.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kaile johansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kaile johansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
And Rick. Don't forget Rick. Somebody needs to record that ending correctly. Bye, everybody.
Just take the beginning and put it in the end. And
it doesn't work that way. It's a little different.
Okay.
They're both different. It makes sense, but it doesn't work that way. All right, so.